Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons back together again here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Remember, you can tell the Odyssey, you can tell your Alexa device, play WEEI Boston Sports Original as you're moving about the house or at somebody else's house, or of course the Odyssey app is free on your phone. Type in WEEI and then click the little heart to save it, so that way you can always come back and it'll always be right there on your homepage for sure. John, still to come this hour. Like, look, it's only 2 hours, but there's still to come this hour. We're going to spin the wheel of uncertainty to determine what feature we're going to do in about 35 minutes. You want to know what the choices are that are going to be on the wheel?
I think I know what it's going to be.
You think you know what's going on? You think, okay, so here are the choices on the wheel. Move them in, move them out, Just a Jag, Boston Love or Boston Love, one of your favorites, I know. And Would You Rather, more likely to either or. One of those features will be spun for this hour.
I think now, I know which one it is. I won't guess now if you don't want me to. But I think
how do you know which one it is?
Because I've had a suspicion all week.
You've had a hope all week.
No, I think you're going to tip the scales. You're gonna make it come out to one.
I'm going to spin the wheel, and then then we do that feature. You know? Yeah. So any requests to put on there?
I think you know what? No, I'm just going to let it play out.
But so in other words, one of the ones that you want on there is in that list of the ones. Oh, yeah. I see how you work, Lyons. Yeah. I see how you
work. It's not our first show.
It is in our first rodeo, that's for sure.
It's like our second or third rodeo.
Well, this year, yeah. So I've been doing Sunday mornings 8 to 10, which has become like bagel hour. And you've been doing work with Megan Ortolini. And, of course, I've seen you on Nesson as well. Did you figure out the parking when you go over to Nesson? Did you ever figure out the trick when you go over to Watertown with the parking?
So I actually... because I was going on the morning show, there was plenty of parking available.
Oh, okay.
So I did all right.
Because you do want to get over there before the sun comes out and like burns up your car.
Yeah, no, I was leaving there by 9. Like I was
there right
there
at that AutoZone right next door to it. You know, the AutoZone right there. Be like, hey, do you have like sun visors? My car leather just completely melted sitting over next door in the parking lot.
Who gives you
a little bit of Watertown humor right there? That's a little Watertown humor, is it not? You know, a little baking there just on the backside of Arsenal Street. I'm just kidding. So there's been a feature that I'd done called Oh Shiitake, named after the mushroom, that really fits into what you hear a lot of in the sports world are really bad takes. They're absolute trash. So you've never played it before. So
no, this is new for me.
This is absolutely new for you. Just, I want to make sure, are you okay with saying the word shiitake? Please don't mess it up.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, because if that happens.
I have my finger over the dump button.
I'm just going to say Brian Frazoco if I think it's a bad
day. Like, he said he's the one that mispronounced shiitake.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play three different ones, and we will discuss, are they good takes or shiitake? Here we go.
Yo, doodle, man, what you got for me next?
Oh, shiitake.
Yeah.
Oh, shiitake.
Ish take.
What the hell did you just say?
All right, the first one comes from Michael Wilbon. This happened on ESPN's Pardon the Interruption. And he's talking about college football and college sports specifically. In the first couple of weeks of college football, that everything is not as hyped as it should be.
I want mass media, major media networks, including people that we like to call our friends, to just ruin the watching of college football for me, the consumption of college football, by exaggerating the hell out of everything. He's the best college football player I've ever seen. You know what my recommendation would be? Then watch more college football. But can we just stop? The greatest weekend of, I mean, all of it is just, it was slobbered over.
Shiitake or on point?
No, I think that's on point. I think that's a big problem, and this is a media problem in sports, in news, everything gets overhyped and no one has any patience.
I agree with them. Look, the greatest ever.
Good and terrible.
Yeah, in the first week and in the week before it was called week zero. Yeah, I think people are looking for the viral moment instead of being in the moment, and it kills the authenticity. It's going to be fascinating as social media develops, and they'll say, gosh, I really prefer the person that will talk to me versus what they perceive people want me to be hyped up and be. All right, this is kind of a little bit of a local one. Bill Simmons and Charles Barkley talking about the new NBA package.
I think the NBA's got a big problem. How are regular fans going to, like, okay, it's Tuesday, especially when they start putting games
on. Where do I go?
Well, like, you know, sometimes the game's going to be on Peacock. And, like, it's not going to be on NBC. I think that's a huge dilemma for the NBA.
Guess what? They don't care.
They got so much money,
they're going to wipe their tears with cash.
Phil, I'm so glad you said that. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I go trash. Nobody's going to care where the Sacramento-Utah game is on tonight. John, would you agree that they will probably put the important games on the important channels and the ones that you really don't care about on the ancillary channels?
I actually completely agree with Barkley, and I think we saw it again with the NFL on YouTube last night. Like these, and Bill's, like, they're right in that the leagues don't care. They're making so much money, so they're going to force you to watch it however way they want. But I think it sucks. Like, there's a lot of people out there that either can't afford cable or don't understand streaming services or aren't able to get them, and these people are being shut out, and I don't think that's cool.
I just sounds like, you know, hey, these guys can't figure out how to talk to a girl on the phone.
And it is annoying.
You can just walk, like, over to her house.
When, like, I have to switch from, you know, my TV to my Xbox to watch a game, it is a little annoying. Just saying. I agree with Barkley on that.
Ryan Clark and Pete Schrager had an interesting back and forth after the Cowboys and Eagles game.
You know what you wake up saying, though? A.J. Brown's team is 1-0.
Of course.
Right, like, I mean, like, that's what
I get.
But the thing is this, though, and we shouldn't do this on TV.
Uh-oh.
And so I apologize if people think this is rude. That's the non-player.
Oh, stop.
Let me tell you why. I'm not saying.
I'm not looking at fantasy football. Ryan, I'm not. Don't belittle me like that. I could come in and say, as 3X players are saying one thing and give an alternative perspective, that maybe CeeDee Lamb did play well.
Peter, what I need for you to do is not get mad and let me finish for once.
Okay, go on.
It wasn't about you. It was going to be about me.
Okay.
Oh damn! Shiitake or good take?
So I would say shiitake on that, but there is a little bit of truth to it. Like, in that if you have a perspective of someone that's played, someone that's coached, I think there are things that they might be aware of or understand that the average fan, average media person isn't. Now, someone like Schrager, who's been in a bunch of locker rooms and covered the league for a long time, I don't think he falls under that category, but I think there is a little bit of truth to what Ryan Clark said.
I'm going to say, not a bad take from Ryan Clark.
Good and terrible.
Good and terrible still, yes. And the reason why I said it is because the point they were making is, if you're trying to go for the individual narrative, but yet we're talking about a team collective, you can have individual results and not have the team desire, which is win. Like, it's amazing, John, like, how you play to win the game is starting to become like this fog of war. I know you're a history buff, which is, why would you discuss how many catches A.J. Brown or he didn't have a better game than CeeDee Lamb, when the case was, when the game was on the line, CeeDee Lamb did not show up and A.J. Brown's team won?
And also, if you had to choose, KJ, and you're building a team and you got to take CeeDee Lamb or A.J. Brown, who are you picking?
Well, now you're getting into the individual, right?
No, but I'm saying I'm picking A.J. Brown 100 times out of 100.
Well, I can see how someone would make the argument that you would choose CeeDee Lamb.
And that's
because,
not even like, I think CeeDee sucks. But, like, okay, A.J. Brown had one catch, whatever. Like, come on.
Right, because what's your philosophy? That's the other part of it. And I think players who are kind of getting into, like, this kind of open field food fight with some of these people who are non-players, whether they're trying to get across is, hey, a lot of the viewers are thinking about, hey, well, when I look at my fantasy sheet, A.J. Brown did nothing, CeeDee Lamb did everything. that's something totally different than what do I need to do in 58 minutes have passed and we're down 4 points and we've got the ball and we're losing.
Yeah.
Right now we're having a conversation about team psychology. What has happened during the course of the game? Hey, does this guy have a lot of volume because the Eagles may have stopped the running game? You know, did the Eagles not have to really go to A.J. Brown because everything else was working, right? So this is where I think a little bit of that nuance, I'm going to lean to the player just a little bit more. Now, Ryan Clark does, he does create some type of buzz. And again, this is what these guys are supposed to be doing. I think, you know, look, these guys are not actors. So when you look like a bad actor, you come off as a bad actor.
Except Stephen A. in General Hospital.
Yeah, well, but you know what? Soap operas tend to all be bad actors, right? Like that's why they're not.
I feel like
in
movies. You and I could do a good job in General Hospital.
Well, you know what?
Had a radio show in the background, or just us?
I'd watch that.
Well, it would be interesting, but I would be the one that was putting a lot of people in the hospital for the wrong reasons. I know about the dark shadow there. No, but I think this is where we are now. And I think football, this is going to be probably the ugliest football season we're going to see amongst pundits just because the pool is so toxic. And it's toxic filled with a lot of the people who Schrager was trying to kind of imply to, which is the audience, to be like, there's no way you can say that A.J. Brown had a better game. And you notice Bruschi and Orlovsky both jumped in. They're like, they won the game. It goes back, you play to win the game, not play to win the game of stats. All right, we continue. We'll talk about the Patriots getting ready for their opener tomorrow. We'll look around the NFL. We're probably going hardcore football until we get out of here. It's KJ and Lions. Time to trend with you.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks. The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Gone.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
As we get to the end of the week, I'd just love to ask you, just coaching your first game here. Obviously watch you play for all those years.
Yep. I think it's going to be about the players. I think that's the most important thing, is to make it about the players. Mike, I appreciate you asking about me. But, you know, I think Jen's excited. I think Carter's excited. So make it about the players. I think that's the most important thing. They put a lot of work in. You know, we ask a lot of them. And then I feel like the games are their opportunity to go play. And I want to make sure that we exemplify that, that we give them what they need to be ready. But also
KJ and Lions on your Saturday, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Season kicks off tomorrow, and that's Mike Vrabel sounding like, if you went back a year ago and what you heard, and then what you're hearing now, okay, I hear calmness. You hear leadership a little bit more. You don't feel like guys can afford to go off astray and kind of do their own thing. Like, just, if you think of some of the news stories that would develop over the first 4 to 6 weeks of last season, you feel like they were nowhere near close to that right now, John, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you just go back to this time last year. Remember, you had the Matt Judon temper tantrum in practice. Right. You had the QB competition that...
The Peppers legal situation.
Yeah, one coach said Brissett won the competition. The other one said May won the competition. Then right. The Peppers situation right after it, like you said... So there was kind of a lot more swirling around this team. And it also, too, kind of hanging in the background was the, oh, you just fired a coach that won 6 Super Bowls. This is your first shot to move on from him. You know, it's much easier to be the guy after the guy after the guy than to be the guy right after the guy.
Yeah, we've talked about that, right? It's very hard to replace a legend. We call it in this industry the David Lee Roth syndrome, where it's like, hey, you'll be the guy after Howard Stern, and you realize, oh boy, this guy is worse than even Howard Stern's third replacement.
Like, it's
backup.
Easier to be Drake May than it is Mac Jones. And May's better anyway, but, like, you know.
I think the other part of that, and I think that we just have to be realistic as a fan base, is does that mean that this team is going to be considerably better? And if that's the case, I would be a bit shocked, because the roster is not considerably different right? There wasn't this huge, massive turnover of roster with a new regime bringing in all these new people. You pretty much have the same faces and players in their key places that you did have that were on this roster last year. So it really becomes a question, I think, of did the players shut it down last year or were they not coached well last year? I feel like that answer is going to come quickly because you felt like last year, like the stories of the card playing on the plane and, you know, Mayo back there with the players and so forth, and you didn't know how to read it, whether it was bonding or just like you're not these guys' leader. Okay, so we're not going to hear any stories about Vrabel playing cards with players, you think?
At least not in a detrimental way, no.
Right,
no,
not a detrimental way is when you're losing and then the story comes out. If you're winning and you're playing cards together, you'd be like, keep playing cards with this guy. Go ahead.
It's interesting because I think the top-end talent on this roster is a lot better than last year. Like, obviously, Gonzalez was here last year, but now you have Carlton Davis on the other side. Like, Spillane, I think, is better than Jawan Bentley was last year. And, of course, Bentley got hurt anyway. Like, Diggs is better than anyone they had last year. Travion Henderson, Will Campbell, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're talking wins above replacement.
Well, yeah, but I think what's the thing to watch, and a lot of this is just where they are in their rebuild, and I've talked about this before here, so if you're listening to me, it sound like a broken record, I know, but it's the depth, right? I mean, what do they do at tight end if, God forbid, Hunter Henry gets hurt? Right? Not a lot there. Linebacker, right? Spillane is better than anyone they've had, but you're not really sure who's going to play next to Spillane at that other linebacker spot, and if Spillane were to get hurt and have to miss some time, you really don't know what you have there to replace him. And even like Gonzalez is out, and I think you feel okay about Alex Austin replacing him. It's not the same guy, but at least you feel okay. But they don't have a lot of positions where a guy could be out injured and you would feel okay about the replacement right now.
There would be one place, but I also think this same room is going to be responsible of how everything moves, and that's the running back room. Because if you said, hey, Stevenson is down and Henderson's going to be your lead back, would you really flinch, do you think, at this
No,
point?
I agree with you. That's the other. Like, I think right. The cornerback room and the running back room are the two that you're like, all right, they can withstand an injury and be okay.
Now, the flip side of that is, if Henderson has to be the number one back, what's happened with Stevenson? Are we seeing the same things? Has the injury bug hit, right? Like, I kind of see this. This is the lens that I'm looking at. Damian Harris's last year and some change of games when he was here. Right, he's the lead back, he's your bell cow. Stevenson gets in there and he's the number two. If you remember, obviously you remember that Stevenson was an inactive for like 3 or 4 weeks after being active that first week because of the fumbling. Well, guess where we are now with Stevenson? We've got to see if the fumbling is still an issue, because if it's still an issue, obviously it's detrimental to the team, but more so it's going to be detrimental to Drake May. Because if you're Drake May, you're thinking like, gosh, do I want to put it in this guy's chest? And does that make me feel like I ought to do more with my arm or take off more just because I don't have the confidence behind me? The other side of that is, okay, well, if Henderson gets in there and we've seen what he's flashed to do, maybe eventually he is RB1, but are they ready to take that load just now? And how does it look like as you get towards the end of the season? Like, I think the bad thing would be finding out that Henderson is outperforming Stevenson early.
Right? Yeah, I think Halloween is the date I look at. Like, I think by Halloween, I could see Henderson being the starting running back.
Really?
I think if he's the starting running back in week 3 or 4, then it does say something about how Stevenson has been. But I could see by Halloween, about midway through the year, that Henderson's going to be your starting running back. Look, I think this guy, and I'm not trying to overrate him, part of this is how bad they've been. He's probably the most purely talented offensive player they've had since Brady left, maybe. Like, just from pure athletic talent standpoint. Like, Hunter Henry's obviously really talented. I know Jacoby Myers was talented.
Jonnu Smith was very talented. He just didn't show it here.
Yeah, so that's true. Smith did have a ton of athletic talent. You're right. So he's in that conversation, though. So I think already as an athlete, he's probably better than Stevenson. It comes down to, can he withstand some of the punishment at the NFL level? You got to see that. How does he actually do in real deal game action? And some of it, on the other side, you alluded to this, depends on Stevenson. Like, if Stevenson comes out and he has an awesome September, all right, he's keeping that job. But if he comes out in September and he has a fumble or two lost and he misses a couple pass blocking assignments or he's just not running that decisively, then that just opens the door further for Henderson. I mean, I think this is like a real, true competition. It's not a training camp competition. I think it's an all-season competition between these two guys.
And when you think about that, who's had that competition outside of the left side of the line? Who's really pushed who? I'd probably say the last time anybody pushed anybody was when Harris and Stevenson were together in the backfield.
Yeah. On the offensive side of the ball?
Right, on the offensive side.
I would agree. Yeah, it's tough for me to think of an example. I mean, if you want to say, like, May push Brissett, fine. But, like, there was other factors.
Yeah, but Brissett was never the answer.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, so there was other factors there. And another guy, too, like, that's another interesting one to watch is defensively, like, Kalavon Chaisson. I mean, he surpassed Keon White in training camp, a guy I like, who I think is a good player. Like, he's another one. He had a really good training camp, and I think your two starting defensive ends tomorrow are going to be Harold Landry and Chaisson. So, and two new faces.
But that's tough for White because White has played the game previously. I thought he was being wasted, being used as an interior down lineman. I always thought his strength was coming off of the edges. That's what all of his tape showed. This is not a gut buster, run stopper guy, but he played there. So if you perform okay, all right, in a position that you normally don't play, but when it comes time for you to be able to free yourself up, maybe it's an earning that position back thing. Maybe this is where this new environment is, right? Because remember the stories last year that maybe White was one of the guys who wasn't really enthralled with the Mayo culture.
Yes,
the coaching
and then he
up wasn't
clear
there
when he said, "I have a real coach finally this spring."
Right. And guess what? That real coach is now saying, "Yeah, good luck in the rotation." So, how does that affect a player when you make these statements? You're saying that you're all for the new regime, and the new regime sees you as you might not be the guy that you want to be or that you think you are, and where you were, we went ahead and addressed something in that and giving Williams all that money, right? So no more of the piecemealing. It's Barmore and Williams. They're going to be those are your guys who are going to be stuffing the nose, right? Everything else is going to be based on what do you have on the outside. White, do you like him as a stand-up rusher?
I like him as a defensive end coming off the edge. Like, I don't mind him as a stand-up rusher. I actually kind of like him a little bit better with his hand in the ground coming off the edge. But
not in the middle.
Him in certain situations in the middle. Like, they used him a little bit against guards last year, and I thought it was really effective, but I wouldn't want him there all the time by any means, or a lot. I think, like, certain situations to mix it up, I do like him there.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, you wonder, like, okay, maybe if you go to a nickel package. You go to a nickel or dime package where you know it's clearly a passing down, and if you want to get another rusher in there, okay, White knows what to do over the nose, and if you've got an additional person on the outside, you've got to compensate for a couple of places where your guys can get beat on the offensive line. But, you know, I think this is really kind of the season of, if some of these players were unhappy this year, how happy are they going to be this year when some are saying, oh, you know, maybe 6 wins or 7 wins would be good, and I don't think that's enough. Some people are like, hey, we're all the way back to 11 wins. I'm like, there is a path. Like, if all things go correct, I do see there's a path for 10 or 11 wins. Does that sound crazy for me? Or at least 10.
I would be really surprised if they got to 11. I'd be very excited, but I'd be surprised. Like, I think this is a team, like, the floor should be 7, and I think the ceiling should be 10. It's because, like, you even think, like, they're going to play Cincinnati again, but they're going to get them later in the season, not week one. And they have that soft middle, but I think the end of their schedule, not the last 2 weeks, but when you have Cincinnati and then Baltimore later and Buffalo later, like, that's where I see 11 wins being a bit of a bridge too far for this group. And especially, the depth thing. Like, if they have any injuries, it's going to hurt them more than your average team.
So I wrote down who would be the top 7 in the AFC, how it would break down, like, who's the one, who's the two, just in terms of where I think things are going. I think Buffalo will probably go around 14-3. Baltimore will be 14-3, but I think Buffalo will have that tiebreaker because they're head-to-head this year. I think Kansas City will be 13-4, and then Houston at 12-5. That's just giving you your division winners, 1, 2, 3, 4, all right? Then I've got Cincinnati at the 5 at 11-6, the Chargers at 10-7 at the 6, and then New England at 10-7 at the 7. right? Because now I'm thinking about who are the teams that could potentially win some games that they should win and possibly compete or maybe even win one of the games that you think they should lose, that they may lose. Out of all those people who have the schedule in the AFC, that screams the Patriots. It all really comes down to what do you do when you have the Panthers in town? What happens when you've got you're on the road with the Saints in a 4:20 game that nobody cares about except for the people in New Orleans? What happens when you go to the Titans? You went there last year. What happens when the Browns come to town? You see what I'm saying? Like when you had like by time you get to November, has the weather changed and now you have Michael Penix Jr. playing outside? Because the weather's been so strange this year. It might be freezing cold in November. It shouldn't be, but it is around the date where we're starting to turn on the heat. And you've got an indoor quarterback who now has to play outside. What does that look like? Or have they gone back to Kirk Cousins in this? You see what I'm saying? So when you have all these other different questions, this is where I'm thinking Vrabel helps you get over the hump and finds a way to win versus in the past we've seen – okay, not only have they found ways to lose, but they've shown themselves to not even be engaged in games.
Yeah, I think that final playoff spot in the AFC is going to come down to the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Broncos. And I have the Broncos in it. I think they're the best team out of that three, albeit in the maybe the toughest division or one of. But I think if you want to take something away, there's a lot of things you would want to take away from this season. But one thing is kind of what you just hit on. Are you winning some of those close games? Are you beating those teams you should beat? Are you not making the major mistakes? Like you look at the last couple of years, and really you can even go back to 2022. How many times was it the Patriots that made the catastrophic mistake or two that cost them a game, right? Like right. We're used to it. Like 20 years, they took advantage of everyone else making a mistake. But how many times in the last few years have they been the team making that, like having that key turnover or that key, you know, third down stop or whatever it may be? They've done that a lot in a lot of their losses. So can they stem the tide of that? Like instead of losing one possession games like they did in 2023 and six last year, can they maybe only lose 3 1 possession games this year or four and have some, maybe go 500 in one possession or even if you're one game under 500 in one possession games? I think it would be a good thing to take away from this season because I think that would show progress, not just in Vrabel, but also May, right? Like some of these one possession games last year, we talk about some of it was special teams and some of it was defense, but the Tennessee game, right? He got him to overtime with an incredible play at the end of regulation. But you could argue that Titans game overall was his worst game, and he threw a pick in overtime. Right,
and see it right again next year.
Yeah, he threw a pick to end the game against the Rams. They had a ball driving chance to score. Right, he threw a pick in the end zone against Buffalo, a game that could have been close. Maybe they could have won. So, I think can they eliminate some of those huge mistakes that cost them games, not just last year, but even the year before? I mean, this has been kind of their MO for 2.5-3 years. They're now the team that has made those mistakes. So one of the things I'm looking for, even tomorrow, right, whether they win or lose tomorrow,
but that shouldn't even be, I think the conversation they should be, I think the conversation should be like they should win tomorrow. Like you would feel like, okay.
But even if they lose and just like, let's say they just get beat, you know what I mean? Like they don't play bad, but the Raiders just play really well and Christian Gonzalez is really missed and it's, you know, a close game. But if they lose because they turn the ball over or they're 0-for-7 on third down or they let the Raiders, you know, go 6-for-7 on third, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
Or
they
what commit if it's a bunch just of one penalties. Critical mistake? You seem to say, what if it's one critical, but you lose the game? Then the question is, what did you not do to make this game a little further out of reach? Why is this game consistently close? Like I would think more so like penalties, you seem to say, things that give up free yards is what can cost you games without making play-by-play mistake, right? Like, those are things that can happen where a play doesn't happen, but a penalty does, right? Like, you get hit with a 15-yard penalty. Hey, yeah, you defended the ball, but they just said you were too aggressive with it. This is why I say I can't really give a pass of saying, well, you know, if they're seven, if they win seven games, this is why 10 is an important number to me because, one, it puts you in the conversation for wild card. But two, it's more realistic than you actually think about it. Here's what seven losses could look like for the Patriots. And then you could argue, I could see how they would win that some of those games. Seven losses would look like they lose to the Steelers, they lose at the Bills, They lose to the Falcons. They lose to the Bucks. They lose to the Bengals. They lose to the Bills again. They lose to the Ravens. That's seven losses.
Yeah, I think that, and I think that's all fair. Like, I look at those teams as like, all right, I'd give them an edge at least right now over the Patriots. And I think this game tomorrow is a much tougher game than I think a lot of people want to admit.
Because it shouldn't be.
They just think the Raiders suck. But I think it's a much tougher game, and the Raiders are better than I think a lot of people give them credit for. And then you wonder, can they split with the Bills this year? Right? Or are they going to lose both to the Bills?
Like, I say they. Do you believe they can beat the Jets and Miami both times? The way this team is constructed,
I think they go 3-1 against those teams. So I don't think they. So that's what I see.
Okay, I think they could beat the Dolphins and the Jets both times, right? Because one, you don't. The Dolphins are having their issues where their advantage would be, which is game two. I don't think they're going to be ready because I think there's where the dysfunction is, and then you'll see the dysfunction at the end of the game, at the end of the season, where they've got to come up here and play January 4th. Like, I mean, we've seen all the numbers about what they look like.
Yeah.
They'll be done then. So there's your two against the Dolphins, and now let's address the Jets. Hey, Justin Fields probably has a better probability of regressing than progressing with the Jets, I believe.
And I like Aaron Glenn. Like, I think that's a good hire, and he'll be a good coach. But it feels like, KJ, that's going to take a couple years to get going.
They're
like,
going to lose a lot of 17-7 games.
Yeah,
I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to lose a lot of 17-7 games because the defense is bent and bent and bent and bent but didn't break. But the offense just sat there stagnant and stagnant and stagnant because you just don't have to trust that Justin Fields can get the ball down the field. That's really what the question is about him now. Can he get the ball down the field? So if you tell me they beat the Jets twice, they beat the Dolphins twice, they beat the Giants, they beat the Panthers, why couldn't they beat the Titans, the Saints, the Raiders? Now we're closer to the 10 games that I think that they should win. They should be a 10-7 team if Brabel's the guy.
Say they should be 10-7 is a little unfair to him. Like, I think to say to 10 who? Is realistic, but I think to say they should be 10-7.
The schedule laid it out.
We're talking about a team that's won 8 games total in the last 2 years.
But you're also talking about a team that gets the Saints, the Titans, and the Browns 3 straight weeks.
Right, so those are 3 wins, but to say that they're going to win, like, I wouldn't act like it's a failure if they win less than 10 games. I think that's unfair to him.
Well, then that tells me if that means they lose a game that you probably believe they should have won. They should have won.
Like,
let's see.
I think they're going to go. We're only off by one. Like, I think they're going to go 9-8. Like, our difference is tomorrow. Like, you think they're going to win tomorrow. I think they're going to lose. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think, especially with Gonzalez out, I think the Raiders have the edge.
617-779-7937. KJ and Lyons, we spin the wheel of uncertainty. Next, to see what the feature will be here on WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday here.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
WEEI.
WEEI.
New England Sports Original. This is KJ.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The 3 conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. First time I've said that probably in 6 months at least. Back together for this Saturday edition. Thank you so much for being here. You missed any of the show, the Odyssey app, it's free. Type in WEEI and you can listen all day, all along, and into the night. Red Sox game, if you're out of the market, it has some conditions, so you'd have to listen here or to your local Red Sox affiliate. But on the app, anytime you want to hear the station, you can rewind it as well. John, I was just thinking, like, I think I was it you for Zocco? Brian for Zocco, our producer now. It was Ken Laird earlier. You notice how we were on our best behavior, nor did I not mention the real KJ show at YouTube that is now up and running, the 24/7 streaming. You notice I didn't notice that stuff when Laird was here. You guys notice that?
I noticed.
You notice?
Substitute teachers in now, sir. So exactly.
So now we're just about to eat candy and throw stuff at the wall.
Exactly.
But I lost my train of thought there for a second. That's pretty bad.
KJ Lyons 24/7.
Yes. No, it's real KJ show.
No, I'm not involved in that.
Right.
I'm outside not, that. That is just KJ.
See, I'm
not
so used to saying
for any
KJ
bosses
Lyons.
Listening, I'm
so
not involved.
I'm so used to saying KJ Lyons.
So it's been, 6 or 7 months since we've been together. And we were together quite a bit during the fall and football season last November, right? Because we were kind of like the John Kerry, John Edwards campaign, right? You know, like who would play John Edwards in that campaign that we ran in November? Would it be me? You know,
as long as you stuck to the politics stuff and
yeah,
all
what
you did outside of
the campaign
trip.
What do you mean? I can't use money for that?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's still a highbrow show. That's what I do like, right? You have to have a little bit of level of intelligence to get some of the humor on the show, right? Like you have to, you know, like the Edwards story and stuff like that and stuff. It's a pretty fun time here. But over the time,
we could be like Eisenhower, Nixon, maybe.
Oh damn! Like how old are we, brother? Here. Yes. Oh my gosh! That's actually Mrs. Eisenhower.
Yes.
All right. More like, how you doing there, sir? No, I'm kidding. that's wrong. We've had different features over the years. Lion's Den. We did Professor Lyons earlier. You remember Autopsy, the Red Sox that we did where we like split open last year's Red Sox team?
A lot of the roots of the issues that we got to, the Red Sox agreed and corrected. We talked about their starting pitching. They traded for Crochet. We talked about the bullpen. They signed Chapman. We talked about right-handed hitters. They signed Bregman. I mean,
because I have a belief, John. Is that different things that have happened on the KJ show or KJ and Lyons have kind of been mini adapted into other things we've seen, not only at the station, but with like, I don't know, with teams, maybe like, what are the chances that we do an autopsy on the Red Sox, play some of the audio of what those guys had said during last year, and then those guys actually do the things that we had said? Do you think that's chance or coincidence?
No, also, everyone has eyes. We all knew they needed starting pitching. So you and I weren't breaking ground there. But I just noticed a lot of the things we said on that those couple segments ended up happening.
Yeah. So in front of me, I have different options for what the feature that we're about to do next. On this wheel is Would You Rather, Boston Love or Boston Lust. Move them in, move them out because, you know, kids are always getting the storos, and Just a Jack. All right, ready to spin the wheel, John?
Let's do it.
All right, and whatever comes at the end, you've got to be ready to play. Fair enough?
Ready.
All right. I can hear your thoughts. Oh!
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jack. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jack.
Uh-huh.
Not great, not bad.
He might suck.
Doesn't stand out on the field.
Why, Coach? Why?
Oh, he's just a Jack.
Below average.
Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
So, since a bunch of guys haven't been out on the field yet, John, we will look at full teams and we'll determine are they Jags or not a Jag. We will start in the AFC West. Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs. Chiefs, are they a Jag?
No, I think they're better than a Jag, but I will say this. They're not as good as they've been the last couple of years. So I'm just throwing that out there.
All right, the Raiders. Jags this year or not a Jag?
I think they're Jags. They'll be a little bit below average, but Pete Carroll will have them to at least be Jags.
The Broncos.
They're above a Jag. They're a playoff team.
I'm going to say, okay, so you say, yeah, so playoff team. For me, I'm going to say these guys are Jags.
Just a guy.
You know, look, Bo Nix, his second year is going to be the conversation that I think we really end up having more than Jaden Daniels in Washington. So watch out. I look for a bit of a slump from Bo Nix. All right. The Chargers, who now lead the division, actually.
Way above a Jag. I think they're going to go to the AFC Championship game, actually.
Whoa!
Yeah, I do.
That's testimony right there. I agree with you, yes.
Yes,
the Chargers, definitely not a Jag. All right, AFC South. I think this is the
Jag division.
Just a guy.
You know, like, yeah.
The Titans, we agree.
Yeah, below Jags. Yeah.
Colts.
Below Jags.
Yeah, just a guy. I agree. the Texans? Well, they can't because how can you be
they're
a Jag?
They're slightly above a Jag, I guess.
So kind of a like a... I guess because they won it. The AFC South. Absolutely horrible. All right, let's go to the AFC North. And who are the Jags here? We'll start with the Ravens. Jags? Nah.
Way above a Jag, yeah. They're their best team in the NFL.
Yes. I'm going to agree with you there. Bengals, they had a disappointing season last year. What are you thinking this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to be better this year. You saw Chase and Burrow play in the preseason a little bit. I think they get off to a better start. I think they're a really good team.
Plus, Joe has the open back shirt now.
Yes.
So I'm going to go, yes, they're not a Jag this year. The Browns.
they're way below a Jag.
Yeah, just a guy.
I'm with you there. I mean, in fact, everybody's kind of like, yeah, that's a sad situation there. The Steelers, a bit of an enigma. What are you thinking,
Jag? Yeah, I think they're going to be a little bit above a Jag. I think their problem is they probably wish they played in the AFC South. I think they'd win that division. I think in this division, they probably finish third behind the Ravens and Bengals.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Do you believe they are a third playoff team? Ironically, I think the Steelers will be okay, but at 9-8 or 8-9, I think they're I think that's where they find themselves, because they're going to tell me that the Ravens and the Bengals are going to be that great. There's no way there are two AFC divisions that are going to have three teams that are all going to be playoff teams. I think one of those divisions is going to be Charlotte, which is the AFC East. The Jets. Jags? Not a Jag.
Oh, below a Jag.
Just a guy.
Like I said, I like Aaron Glenn. I just think that's going to take a couple of years to get going.
Yeah, there's only a couple. You know, there's only two letters that change Jets to Jags, and that's an A and G. And, oh, golly, they're Jags, that's for sure. Let's go to the Dolphins. Some issues that they've had with their team in the offseason with what is Tyreek Hill going to be to them? What is two of Tagovailoa is going to be? Jag or not?
I go Jag here. I don't know. I'm just not a... feels like something is off there in Miami, and they fade every year. I don't know. I go Jag here.
Yeah, it's called the team. They're off.
Didn't they score like 70 points against the Broncos a couple years ago? Those teams have gone in opposite directions since then.
Those days are done. The Patriots.
I think they're Jags. Yeah.
Really?
Well, and you figure, I think they're going to go 9-8, so that's Jag territory.
Well, then I've got to say, if I believe they're 10-7, then
yes!
But you know what? It's kind of a softer yes. It's
more,
they're 10-7.
Lowercase y, yes.
Yeah, but with a lot of S's at the end, they're going to have to kind of stretch this thing out. So I think they're not Jags just because I think they're in that final wild card playoff spot. All right, so now let's get to the NFC, and let's start out in the NFC. Let's start in the NFC South. Let's get that over with. The Saints?
Below Jag.
Just a guy.
You got to separate those L's and J's below Jag.
Pause.
Yeah. Jag, I'm with you there.
Just a guy.
Absolutely horrible. What about the Panthers?
Below Jag.
Just a guy.
Way to separate those letters there. I'm with you there.
Just a guy.
It comes down to the Falcons and Bucks. Falcons, what do you
think? So I think the Falcons are Jags. We'll see how Michael Penix does. I think they have some good young pieces there. Bijan Robinson's really good. I just don't think they have it all together yet.
You know what? I'm going to say the Falcons, they're going to be okay. I think it's going to come down to the Falcons and Buccaneers getting healthy off of the Saints and Panthers. And then because that division's so bad, their schedule isn't as tough. The Buccaneers, a little tougher schedule, but not as much as the Falcons. So we were thinking that, the Bucs are not a Jag.
Yeah, I think they're above that.
Yes!
The NFC North, this is interesting. What are we thinking of the Bears? Do we think they're Jag materially or what?
I think they're below being a Jag, actually.
Just a guy.
Yeah, I like Ben Johnson, but I'm not a big believer in Caleb Williams. I think they need another year.
Lions, strong, not a Jag?
Oh, yeah, they're above a Jag.
Yes!
How about the Packers?
Way above a Jag.
I agree as well.
Yes!
Vikings, I think, is interesting. What are you thinking?
So I'm actually going to go Jag here. I think they're a 9 or 10-win team. Because you go back to last year, they won 14 games, but 9 of them been that many close games. Again, I just don't see that.
Yeah, I think they're the fool's gold. I think they're the Jag that falls off the greatest from last year. All right, NFC West. which I think is interesting. Let's start with the Seahawks. Jags, nah.
Jags, yeah.
Yeah.
Just they got.
I agree. How about the Cardinals?
Way below a Jag.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just they got.
The Rams.
I think they're above a Jag as long as Matt Stafford is healthy. They almost beat the Eagles in the playoffs. People forget that.
Yeah, so it's a weak one.
Yeah.
A little limp there. How about the 49ers?
I think they're above a Jag. And it's weird because they had so many injuries last year. If just most of those guys are healthy, I think they're going to be a really good team.
Why does it seem crazy when I looked at this? These guys may go 15-2.
Yeah, I was thinking 12-5. But yeah, I mean, people are sleeping on how good that roster is because they had so many injuries last year.
Now, you know, the only thing that could hurt them is if Mac Jones gets into the game. That's a real possibility. And in the NFC East, the Eagles, what are we thinking? Yeah, way above the Jags. Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
The Cowboys.
They're Jags.
Yeah, just they totally got. Agree. How about the Giants? We know that, right?
Below a Jag.
Yeah, just
Jag.
They got.
The Commanders.
I put them above a Jag. I don't know if they're going to be quite as good as last year, but I think they are good.
So they get a little bit of the yes. And there you have just a Jag. We had to bring it back. We had to break a rule or two. Next. We talk about Belichick's new rule. None of you Patriots folks can come down here to Chapel Hill. We'll get into that, plus more football coming, getting ready for the NFL season. It's KJ Lyons, WEEI. Good Saturday to you.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland, wherever you get your podcasts.